What would you say would be the strangest or weirdest experience you've had with the band, and also the most satisfying or most memorable?
Strangest or weirdest as a band? Let me think. There's too many. They all start to melt together. Let me see. I would say, from a weird standpoint, you're going to catch me on this one.
Didn't mean to catch you off guard.
Well, no, you know, I mean, I wouldn't say maybe weird, but as a different kind of standpoint. I remember that when we were touring with Motley Crue in the 80s, actually it was like 84 or something like that. Oh, that was, as a matter of fact, that was the tour you were talking about, right?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, I think we were playing in Rochester, I think it was, and we had a fan mail person that was doing all of our fan mail, and she sent something to us on the road to one of our hotels, and it was basically a picture of a tombstone with part of the lyrics from Forever on it, and this whole storyline that went with it, and these parents of this kid that was a drummer that was really into Y&T, he won like the Battle of the Bands playing Forever and Black Tiger and all that kind of stuff, and they really, you know, were into his kid's career, their kid's career. So this was like a big deal. You know, they even knew the Y&T songs because he was such a big fan. Anyway, as it turned out, he unfortunately got into a car wreck and lost his life. And his parents felt that Y&T was such a big part of his life that they put, you know, these amazing part of a lyric of Forever on his tombstone, and it was just like gave us the chills. Well, they were going to come to Rochester because they all wanted to, his girlfriend, his sister, his parents, his friends, everybody, they all wanted to see us because they felt like it was going to be a sort of a closure for them. And so that was a weird thing, but it was a very emotional and you know, I don't want to say cool, but I would just say amazing, you know, moment when we met the family and they asked us to play Forever for their son that night. And that was probably one of the most emotional moments I've ever had on stage and off stage. And that was just goes to show you how much music touches other people's lives more than you think it does sometimes. So it was an amazing experience.
So that would also qualify probably as one of the most memorable experiences.
Yeah.
Another track that's one of my all-time favorites is Life, Life, Life. And it seems like with the current situation with North Korea that song's more relevant than ever.
Boy, you called it. Yeah, you know what? You're picking a lot of good songs, man. I'll tell you. You know, these are like band favorites ourselves that we don't necessarily hear the fans talk about so much. But, yes, absolutely, man. That's kind of a timeless song, I think, is what it's going to end up being, unfortunately. You know, as history has shown us, it was probably currently right for probably at least, you know, 10 other times from the time we wrote it till now, and it probably will be from here on out. So, yep, it's pretty amazing how that happens.
Is the band currently writing new material?
Not at the moment, but for the first time in our career since we got back together in 2001, we are actually seriously considering doing that now. And the most likely time frame for us to do that is probably starting the beginning of next year, January through March or so. We're talking about getting together and starting to write new material now.
Do you have plans for a new studio album?
That's it. That's what we're talking about, yeah. And also, we're going to be recording some live stuff for a DVD. We're going to do a show in Germany, hopefully. That will be done right. In October, we're going back to Europe again. And we're going to be shooting a couple of nights in Germany that's going to be for a DVD.
Excellent.
So, and we're going to re-release Earthshaker and In Rock We Trust and remaster them now. We finally got the rights to them.
Oh, fantastic.
So it's a lot of stuff coming up.
What made you decide to do a couple of solo albums and venture into the blues arena?
Well, I've always sort of been a blues-based player, and somebody had given me the suggestion, amazingly enough, when Y&T had broken up. They said, you know, they knew that I was looking into doing a solo project, and they said, you know, Dave should do a blues thing because he's got such a blues feel to his playing. And you know, my manager told me that, you know, somebody said that to him, this record guy. And I said, yeah, you're right. That would be something cool, because I grew up listening to blues all the time. And you know, my version of what I would do for a blues record would be more sort of along the rock edge of a blues thing. But, you know, it gave me an inspiration that was definitely inspired, because I didn't have to think much about it. It was like I could start writing songs almost immediately with that kind of feel. I started thinking of a couple tunes I'd like to cover, and a few came right up immediately. And, you know, so it wasn't a struggle. It wasn't like I was pushing something. It just came together. And I really like that record on the blues side. It has a lot of emotion, a lot of passion in the playing and in the singing. So that was great. And then later on, when I decided to start playing on that record live, I put a band together. And after about a year or so, or 2 years of playing in that band, we started writing material for a second record. And it ended up being more rock than blues, but it still has a sort of a blues edge to it. The Menichetti record was the second record.
I know, I've turned a lot of people onto that on the blues side. Were you prepared for the critical acclaim that you got for that record?
No, I wasn't. I really didn't know if people were just going to, it was just going to be a throwaway thing for people, or, you know, they go, another solo project, you know, from a guy from a band, who cares? But still to this day, I mean, that record was released in 97. Our fans that are guitar players and or guys that are more into sort of bluesier stuff, they still like that record almost more than some of the other stuff that we've done in Y&T or anything else. So I'm very proud of that thing. I mean, when I still put that, you know, part of those records on and listen for a few minutes, I can immediately get thrown back to, you know, the passion that I was having at the time that I was performing those songs in the studio. And it was, you know, it was definitely something that I'm proud of.
You think you'll do any solo records in the future?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I definitely will. But Y&T is really, like you said, it's really stepped up in the last couple of years. And we're so busy now that I don't know when I'm going to get the time to do that. But, you know, sometime in the next couple of years, I'll go revisit that.
Just a couple more questions and I'll let you go. What occupies your time outside of rock and roll?
I'm a big movie buff. My wife and I are. And so, you know, I've got this really big home theater kind of set up in my house. So if we're not going to movies, we're watching a movie like every night. I'm also into, you know, into computers, so I'm always tweaking with those, and astronomy, and we go out, you know, and try every once in a while to get to a dark sky location and look up at the sky and enjoy that. And also I'm into hiking, so I pretty much go out hiking at least anywhere from 2 to 5 times a week. So those are the kinds of things that I do when I'm not playing music.
Ever see any strange objects flying around when you're staring at the sky?
Yeah, you know, at first I did until I realized that they were satellites. It's like, oh yeah, there's a lot of satellites up there, aren't there? I'm still waiting to see a UFO, man. My wife thought that she saw one when she was younger, and a couple of my friends think that they've seen one here and there, you know, and I'm waiting for my experience, man. I want to see it before I kick off this earth.
Is there any new bands that you're listening to that you find yourself interested in?
Let me think.
Or what do you think of the current state of rock and roll?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I hate to sound like a stodgy old guy, but I try to listen to new bands every once in a while, but most of the time I'm not listening to new bands. So I'm listening to like classic stuff that really turned. You know, I go back and listen to anything from, you know, I don't know, Jethro Tull to Zeppelin to any number of other things, you know. But, the state of music is, it's kind of an odd state. I mean, there's certainly a lot of good bands out there, but there's something missing from a lot of the bands that I'm listening to now. It seems that the melodic part and the passionate part has been lost on just aggression and technical things. And I don't know. I think it's just going. It's morphing, you know, right now. Where it ends up at the other end of a spectrum, we don't know. But I'm still waiting for you know, really great musicianship and really great songwriting to come back together and still have, you know, the heavy rock feel or whatever it is that people want out of it. Right now, I think we're just in kind of a strange period.
If you get a chance, check out the opening band in Cleveland. They're kind of a classic-based metal band from Cleveland called Aftershock, and they're really good.
Oh, cool. Good.
Well,
yeah,
I do.
Absolutely. We'll be there early enough to see the opening act.
I do appreciate your time. Thanks so much for talking to me.
Oh, yeah, you bet, man. And we look forward to playing back in Ohio again. It's been a long, long, long time.
It's going to be fantastic. And
yeah.
I'll play this interview on the radio the Friday right before the show. I do a two-hour metal show on Friday night. And I also write for a local rock and roll magazine, so we'll get an article in there as well.
Great, man. Well, I appreciate you calling.